Colonel Lindsay, Rail 2.
Now, did the climatic conditions in India affect the pattern of routine cavalry life in any significant ways?
Yes. You had to do everything before 9 o'clock. You had to get to all your riding school and everything before early morning. And then you were shut down until the evening. So too hot, and it was prickly heat. In Cairo, Egypt, it was dry heat, and an awful prickly heat till the monsoon broke.
Now, British regiments were linked with Indian regiments for training purposes in India, weren't they?
Yes. There was I can't remember what the formation of cavalry brigade now was, but we were with KDGs with probably I think the 7th Light Cavalry or something like that. We're Indian regiments. They had they were mixed, you know, mixed officers, native officers and native white officers.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember quite the formation now.
Yes.
But you can find it in any manual.
Yes. We're now talking about the period, the early mid-30s. By this time, was there any change of feelings or views within the regiment about the future of horse cavalry in the army?
I think that we knew we were due to be mechanized, due course. Yes, I think everybody knew that. With regret, of course. But inevitable.
Mm.
And I think the wise people, the better brains probably, realized they ought to be mechanized long ago. So there was a great school of thought, and that there was a great use for the horse. And there was indeed, if there was enough manpower things.
In what fields did this school of opinion see the great use of the horse still lay?
Well, I think from some of the higher ups to the lower downs.
Mm-hmm.
Every strata thing, because otherwise I think there were, like Little Hart, who was a tank theorist in every way, he saw the writing on the wall long ago. And it's like if we developed the tank from the First War properly, we'd have been better than the Germans were, I think. Mm. Firepower and tank power.
Yes, but for those cavalry officers who still saw in the 1930s a future role for the horse in war, what roles did they see for it?
I think the usual traditional roles of reconnaissance and defense by outflanking. In certain terrain, ground, certain type of ground, obviously not flat desert country or anything, but you. And in, for instance, Italy, when you tank, you only got to blow up a wee bridge and a road, and that was that. Took a hell of a delay till the bridge was built.
Mm.
And the tanks couldn't get on.
Yes. Could you give me some of your memories of what the reactions were in the KDG when in 1937 the announcement that the regiment was to be mechanized was finally made?
I think one of sorrow, but it was advance, the rein back of the horse in front of the advance of mechanization. Regret, but you still stayed in the saddle. It had to be. I think it was inevitable. When we're given a couple of charges to soften the blow, but that obviously went when the time came.
Was there, as far as you were able to recognize, any differences of opinions within the KDG about mechanization, any differences in the reactions to it? You've mentioned that there was a general reaction of some regret. I wonder, was there any alternative reaction? Were there any elements or groups within the regiment that actually welcomed it?
Unless you were mad keen on nuts and bolts, I don't think so. I don't think very, some people love mechanized things, cars and smell of grease and smoke and petrol fumes and things. They seem to live on it. Well, they probably welcomed it. But I don't think many horsemen did. Couldn't have.
Hmm. Who within the regiment seemed to take best to mechanization and its consequences, and who took worst?
Well, I think some, obviously, who hated riding, and I think some of the other ranks, some of the troopers, looking after a horse is quite a good sweat, and it's an all-time job, and I think just turning the key in the lock and the vehicle was there, it's probably a relief.
Mm.
And possibly learning a trade, probably, which a horse wouldn't be a trade for him after. I think they welcomed it more than the officer did, for that reason. Because an officer, really, by and large, had a first or second servant, called servants in the cavalry, batmen in the infantry, who did it for him. He had other duties to do,
mm-hmm.
Couldn't have time. And so he wasn't worried so much about turning the key in the lock. I think that made a lot of difference. Till the end, of course, when they all regretted the horse when the afterthought, the humour and friendliness it entailed among all ranks.
Mm. When the announcement about mechanisation finally came, did it come as much of a surprise to the regiment? What I'm really asking is, you know, whether you knew well in advance that it was going to happen, or whether it's...
Well, I think, I can't remember, but I think it came, I think we knew 2 years before it happened it was going to. We wouldn't know when. We didn't know when. And of course a lot of cavalry regiments, like, well, I don't say lot, but the Scots Greys, who were well up in the political racket, they did all they could to not get be mechanized, literally. And so they weren't. To the last. And of course they regretted it when they were in Palestine beginning the war. They wanted to be mechanized. But of course they were all told they hadn't learned to ride yet. So they weren't mechanized,
yes.
Not for that reason, mm. Actually.
Were there any steps taken while the regiment was still in India between the time of the announcement about mechanization and the return to England to be mechanized? Were there any steps taken during that period to begin the retraining of the regiment?
Yes, yes. I think they were all sent back on courses at Bovington and that other place near Hounslow,
mm.
Farnham, isn't it? Oh, yes. People sent back on courses, all right.
Was that done on any kind of selective basis?
Well, I imagine that... well, obviously, the other ranks and officers had to be equally done by, but I don't... The person who happened to be available, I think.
Just a couple of questions about mechanization itself when you returned to Aldershot in 1937. As far as you're able to observe, how well did the personnel of the KDG take to the new kinds of skills and disciplines which mechanization imposed? Were there any things that proved to be particularly difficult in the transition from horse to tank?
No, I don't think so. I think they did it very well. Very well. They're determined to make a good do of it, you see. It's if you do away with the regimental, or squadron feeling, you do away with the incentive to keep the show going properly and the best ever. If you had no sort of unit to fight for, I think it might have been different. We were drafted a certain number of from the reservists from the tank corps, who were first class chaps. Once you got used to the berry, I never liked the berry to start with. When they were first class men, really, and they helped enormously.
What was their role?
Well, they were just drafted in, NCOs and other ranks. No role, they were just part of the regiment.
Uh-huh.
But they were allowed to keep their berries, which was until we all had berries.
Yes.
Well, they had the black. Well, the black eventually went, of course. But one never thought much of the tank corps as such, which was rather pity, because they had the hard end of a stick.
What do you mean exactly, you never thought much of them?
Well, they hadn't got the elan. They were windy, and quite right too, I think, undergunned and under-tanked and everything. But I don't know, there's always been a feeling against the tank corps somehow, I don't know why, quite.
Yes. In what kind of ways did this feeling show itself?
Oh, it didn't ever, except kept trying to keep separate. Never showed itself in any word or mouth or word at all. And I think they all felt inferior too, somehow. I don't know why either.
Yes, I think they did. I can remember talking to tank corps officers who were involved in combined training exercises with cavalry and asking them, you know, how they got on with cavalry regiment officers, and they would say things like, well, pretty well, but we always felt rather like poor relations with them.
Yeah. Well, it was totally uncalled for, I think. Totally uncalled for. Undoubtedly, I don't know. All those feelings have gone by now. Although you still there. It took a hell of a time. The tank corps wouldn't join the cavalry club, for instance. I don't know why.
I think they weren't allowed to for quite
weren't
a while,
to,
weren't
probably,
they?
For a bit.
Yeah. This slight feeling of uneasiness with each other.
What, a separate units, I mean? Or nothing when you're amalgamated.
No. Well, you were saying that you know, some of them seemed a bit, they lacked elan and seemed
well,
to be...
Well, I think the old tradition, we had the same officers were horsed until they got amalgamated a bit more, until they rejoined another unit. There was always a slowness about a tank corps man, and slight timidness, we all thought. And
now, how did you actually, these things you're talking about, like timidness, bit of windiness, lack of elan, there must have been some things, some ways of behaving amongst the tank corps that led you to draw those kinds of conclusions. And
well,
what I'm...
One experienced it in the fighting, actually, as well. But not all. I mean, they had terrible characters, those tank corps chaps. And I have every sympathy, but so did the 8th Hussars. They were almost wiped out one time. Some of it was got bogged down, I think, in the desert. Almost every tank corps was brewed up.
Mm.
But then you know what it was. It was just, I think it was a bit of lack of proper training. They were trained differently. The tank corps trained differently from the cavalry, I think. Basically, cavalrymen still thought the tanks were the horse. You see, slight difference. But individually, the tank corps was exactly the same as anybody else.
Mm. During that period of during that period at Aldershot, from 37 up to, well, up to the outbreak of war, was it a difficult period for any practical reasons? I mean, I'm thinking of things like, you know, lack of equipment, lack of courses, things like this. Were there any problems or difficulties during that transition period?
Oh yes, it was. We hadn't got any bolts for guns to start with, and the lack of everything. Lack of everything. The light tanks we had, they hadn't got anything to fire the guns with to start with. What they were, they had to pool them to go off to before Dunkirk. All the mechanism of this and the other had to be pooled and sent to some other regiment. Some regiments had nothing. The lack of everything like that.
That's one of the paradoxes of the KDG's experience was that after about 3 years of training on light tanks, when you became operational in World War II, you became operational as an armoured car unit, not as a tank unit.
Mm.
And I wondered whether you found the transition later on from tanks to armoured cars had any accompanying problems.
No, because we hadn't actually battled with a light tank at all. And armoured car work was much the same as it was much freer. I don't think it was any different at all. In fact, much easier.
Which did the regiment prefer, the tanks or armoured cars?
Armoured cars every time.
Why?
Well, it's not any more comfortable. But you hadn't got that awful tracks to deal with. Keep breaking and taking off, and you hadn't got the noise and the smell, chiefly, I think, what worried most of us.
Did the KDG's practical experience as a horse unit lend itself better to working with armoured cars?
Yes, I think so. Well, I think so.
In what kinds of ways?
Well, you had much more mobility, and you didn't run out of petrol, and so on. You could last longer. You see, coming back from that first battle, when we first met Rummel, if we hadn't been armoured cars, we'd never got back. And tanks had to brew up their own vehicles because they ran out of this, that, and the other. And the tanks, oh no, the armoured car was a... If it hadn't been for armoured cars, I don't think we'd ever got back.
Mm. Did there seem to you to be much... did there seem to you to be any parallels between, on the one hand, operating as a horsed regiment, and on the other hand, operating as an armoured car regiment?
Well, it's much easier than armoured car regiment. You wouldn't worry about the horse, feeding, watering. And it was much easier, too, physically.
Yes, well, I think what I'm really driving at is whether the sort of tactical roles you performed as a horse formation had any parallels when you operated as an armoured car formation.
I think we tried to carry out the same. We had to, when you met the opposition, you had to outflank him, and or tried to. Get behind him. And for instance, the first time we ever met the Germans was Bill Williams, he was. He did an outflanking movement, but being Bill Williams, he came back behind them